welcome to another Tadpog Podcast, a weekly show where two old guys talk about old games. I'm your bearded host, Tyler, and when I was little, I used to write fictions about myself playing hockey for the St. Louis Blues.
And I'm your bespectacled host, Dave, and I just learned that I am scared of Pixar. We're playing through IGN's Top 100 Super Nintendo games and musing about our experiences here on the show. This week, we're talking about IGN's 98th ranked Super Nintendo game, Uniracers. We've got a special guest with us here tonight, Mr. Josh Nance.
Is that me?
That's you.
Okay, great. Hey guys, I'm Josh. I am currently drawing swords right now to calm my nerves.
He's doing pretty well.
Thank you.
This started back in middle school when Josh and I had a stapled together booklet of few hundred swords that we drew, named, and put what level you had to be to wield these powerful, powerful blades.
It went along with our Lego universe, too. We had spreadsheets of Lego men with all of their stats and weapons and equipment and other such things.
So. Where's all this now?
I have the spreadsheet, one of the spreadsheets at home, where we put down all the names, a little bit about their story, name all their equipment and all their equipment slots. I wish we had the actual storyline.
So Dungeons & Dragons was just really a natural progression.
Yes, absolutely.
Right on. Glad to have you on the show.
Yeah, glad to be here.
All right, so first, I guess we'll kick things off by talking about what we've been playing in the interim between last podcast and this podcast. Dave, what have you been playing since we left, besides Uniracers, since we left off from Tiny Toon Adventures?
I have been playing a lot of Uniracers. We've been playing some Borderlands 2, finally. I know we've been talking about that the last two episodes. We finally got to play a little. You, me, and Blake trying the Gunzerker. I don't like it at all. I need to make a new build.
Well, I don't mind starting over doing something else.
I think I'll just build him as a tank instead of trying to make him a damage dealer. Because I've done some research, and that's really what he's supposed to be, a tank. So I don't know why a class named Gunzerker is tank. I would just assume Commando would be tank and Gunzerker would be DPS or something. But
no.
Besides that, I've been playing a lot of Chivalry, Medieval Warfare, which ties in with all the swords you're drawing and the Lego universe.
You can use them if you want.
Some of them might be in the game. I'm glad you're on the show, Josh, because ever since I've been playing this game, this has got you written all over it. I really like it. It's a team-based game. It's a first-person shooter, but you have swords, pole arms, daggers, bows and arrows, crossbows, and you either work with a team to accomplish goals, or you do a free-for-all melee. And I thought for sure when I first started the game that I completely wasted my money, because I started up and it looks like absolute dog shit. And I was like, oh,
yeah,
damn it. This doesn't look like the trailer at all. The text is all really bad. And it all starts in this little training area, and it looked awful. And I was like, well, I've heard this game. I've heard it's got some pretty cool mechanics, so at least I can try some mechanics out and go from there. Well, I went to do the training, and they've got a class trainer for each one. There's an archer, a man of arms, which is kind of like a light armored guy that's really quick and uses small weapons. And then there's a vanguard, which is medium armor with pole arms. I kind of think he's Game of Thrones, your favorite character, Viper.
Oh, the Red Viper.
Yeah, he reminds me of that class reminds me of Red Viper.
Okay, you've appealed to me 2% by making that reference.
I think Tyler didn't know what his favorite Game of Thrones character was for a minute.
Jamie Lannister? Yeah. Well, I guess he's sort of, Red Viper, yeah.
That's kind of the problem with Game of Thrones, I guess, is that I think everyone has more than one favorite.
Well, you need to, because chances are they're going to die, you need a backup, yeah.
And then there's a knight, which is heavy armor, sword and shield, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it sounds great. I'd like to give it a try. I just logged, 30 hours in FTL, finally beating it on normal mode. So maybe now that I've put a little bit of a dent in my list of Steam games to play, then yeah, I'll give it a try.
I recommend it. It's once you get past the starting area, it's still not polished at all. It's based on Half-Life Source. So it'll run on...
My eyebrows went up.
It'll run on a potato. And because of that, it looks like it. But it's a lot of fun because they put a lot of emphasis on all the melee. Like, there's different slashes you can do, and you have to actively guard. Like, when someone swings, you have to right-click to either parry with your weapon or bring your shield up. So what it lacks in polish, it makes up 100-fold in gameplay. It's a lot of fun.
Well, it's you don't play nostalgia for the graphics.
Right.
It sounds like a lot what they wanted the battle system in Skyrim to be.
They need to take note from this game. And all the Elder Scrolls games, I feel like melee is essentially me swinging a sword running backwards.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they tried to fix that in Skyrim. From Oblivion, that was a flawless tactic. You could go through any enemy, cut right. them down by using that tactic. But they made backing up a little bit slower in Skyrim to try to fix that. But still, it's a pretty effective tactic.
Yeah.
You just back up a little bit, block, and attack.
Yeah.
You know,
so you've been playing FTL?
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely recommend this game. I think it's normally $10 on the Steam sales. I got it for $5, so for $5, you know, I've logged 30 hours into this game, so it's definitely been worth it for me. Definitely challenging, like
yeah,
I said.
Yeah.
There's easy and normal mode, both of which are extremely difficult. Normal mode, in fact, right before we started recording, I finally beat normal mode. Which
I still haven't beat easy.
Yeah. It's pretty tough. I've found only a few tactics that really work for the final confrontation. So
I hope to maybe get you back on the show. Maybe we do a special episode about FTL.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I bought it during the Steam sale this week. Yeah. So when I get around to it.
And it has a look and feel of an older, of a retro game.
Yeah.
And its art style, at mm-hmm. least. What Tyler, what have you been up to? Did you finish all the Zelda games in this week?
Maybe I should pick up and try to grip my teeth through Spirit Tracks sometime soon. Like Borderlands 2 multiplayer with a little bit of single player. Because in multiplayer, Borderlands 2, I'm playing the Commando.
Yeah.
And I like it okay. It's a lot different. In my solo, I'm playing the Siren, which I really enjoy.
Yeah.
Again, that's kind of, I think we'd mentioned my play style is usually
right.
defensive, and the Siren's got a lot of good healing and defensive abilities.
What do you like about the Commando?
I guess I like being able to do a little bit more damage, and I'm doing the survival, because I may change my tactic, because I was building more of a tank. So if you want to build more of a tank, I'll probably go and buy where I can reset my skill points and...
We might want to look into it.
A little more damage dealing, which...
Because that game is fun. Multiplayer... It's kind of challenging.
It's surprisingly challenging, but it's good.
Because we've been playing with Blake. Fuck you, Blake. And it's been hard with just the three of us.
Yeah, no, it's not the kind of hard that we'd bitch about, but it's a good, like, I've enjoyed it.
Yeah. And we need to get you playing too.
Yeah, well.
Yep.
And by the time this airs, we may have a Steam group for Tadpog if anyone wants to look us up and play with us. That would be great.
Or give us free games.
Yeah, if you want to gift us games, sure, I'll give you my
Steam ID. I hadn't even thought about that. There we go. But this week, I haven't gotten to play a lot of games because I've been finally moved into my house. So now it's time to unpack and organize and do all the small details now that we're in.
Yeah.
But since I've been doing that, I guess my primary form of entertainment has been listening to Book 14, the final book in the Wheel of Time series by Robert Jordan and Brandon Sanderson, which I'm about halfway through it, and it's been amazing.
Yeah.
I want to finish it, but at the same time, I don't want to finish it. I
don't
want this
to
be over. It's so good. And, I mean, Brandon Sanderson is finishing Robert Jordan's work because Robert Jordan died.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not like there's not going to be any more,
right.
period.
It makes me
sad.
Is there any news about maybe Wheel of Time seeing television or movie or...
Game of Thrones gives me hope
yeah.
that something like that, because it is in the same sort of vein as Game of Thrones, although it's way more magical. The Game of Thrones is essentially, people might make it out to be fantasy, but I really think of it more as it's a medieval political thriller.
Right.
How much nudity is in it?
They have
sex when they cast spells, right?
That's true. Yeah, they have to. Yeah, it's like massive 80s style animated erections, whatever they cast. But I don't know why it went that direction, but it works. No, it's...
That's how you cast spells, Tyler.
Other than the IL people who are naked a lot, there's very little...
It's like La Blue Girl for medieval fantasy. Link to La Blue Girl will not be in the show notes.
But hopefully now I'll keep listening and finish book 14, do some more Borderlands. After this week and the house is all done, I hope. I've got four games that I might want to... Next on the agenda, of course, FTL, so we can do a special about that. Amnesia, because we've been talking about it for so long. Amnesia's, I need to finish it.
I've played a bit of that too. Yeah, I would let me know before you guys do that, because I'd like to play that and talk to you guys about it.
All right.
Lone Survivor, I want to try. I bought it. I finally got that on Steam sale. I'm eager to try it out.
I'm curious what you think. I've played it, and I'm just curious what you think.
Mm-hmm. I started, last time we were hanging out on New Year's Eve, I started They Bleed Pixels.
Yeah.
So I need to pick that up and finish that out.
I kind of wish I'd have picked that up so maybe we could talk about it on the show. Because
That fits our criteria pretty well.
That's what we've been playing this week. Besides our main game, which is Uniracers, we have Josh here, who is an expert on Uniracers.
Because I own the game, and I had played it before this.
That is the criteria of being an expert. That's okay. Like Jacob owned Final Fight, so he's Final Fight. He's a Tadpog Final Fight expert. If this were Pawn Stars and someone came in asking for Uniracers, I'd be like, hold on, I gotta call a buddy who's an expert in this kind of stuff. It would be you. So tell us about Uniracers. There's an interesting story behind it.
Oh, the mythos, yes. Okay, so according to the instruction booklet, the lore in there states that there was a unigod who lived in the universe and wanted to impress a goddess who didn't think he had enough imagination. So he created the Uniracers, because apparently racing in this universe is the most badass thing ever. So he created the Uniracers. Their sole purpose is to race each other. And from what I remember, he just kind of forgets about it. Okay. It just leaves them to their own thing, which they're eternally racing each other. The boss is the anti-uni.
The boss of the game.
Yes, the anti-Christ equivalent, I guess. I'm assuming.
Well, if the uni god didn't create the anti-uni, he'd be taking away the player's will, their free will.
But they don't have
to choose.
Oh, shit. We're getting into some Uniracers philosophy.
I haven't studied theology or anything, but there is...
We have some listeners who did, so...
Okay, great. Yeah, we need to get a theology...
shirt.
We need to get a theology expert in here to talk about the underlying...
Well, you're the expert, so you're just going to have to...
Okay, then I will wing it. Okay, so this unigod has left these Uniracers, or I think they're just called unis in the game. Yeah, unis, on their own to race eternally. There's not much to the customization, which I think we're probably going to get into later, but each uni has its own personality. So they each have their own little unique personality. They say different things from time to time.
Let's just call them eunuchs from here on out, if we could.
All right. So this one eunuch states that he hates racing.
Really?
Yes. So
a crisis of faith.
Maybe, or maybe he's being tormented. Maybe this is his hell.
Oh, interesting.
Is the only evidence that this unigod ever existed is the anti-uni, which he apparently left to test. Well, you have to race against them, so of course it is a test.
So did it work? Did the unigod get the girl?
We don't know.
Well, folks, it's been a great episode. That's Uniracers for you. Cue the music. I actually do have some non-canon information about the game. It's a racing game that was developed by DMA Design and Nintendo of America. Nintendo published it for the Super Nintendo, and it was released in North America in 94. You race as a unicycle, or a uni, or a eunuch, take your pick, around a two-dimensional track that they loop and twist, and you have to perform stunts and avoid obstacles, and that's about the gist. There isn't a whole lot more to the game.
Before we played it, you had a theory about, we were just like, why do you think the background, what's the story behind this game? And you had something I think is equally as good and plausible as the actual story.
The unicycles, the unis or eunuchs, no one's riding them. So they're just riding by themselves. So I just assumed that that ghosts were riding them. I mean, that seems like the most logical solution. That's the most logical answer.
Well, there are ghosts.
Right. We found that out. We found that out, which I think is hilarious. Tell me about the ghosts.
Well, I don't know much about them other than what you mentioned.
Does.
Yeah, exactly. It was so mysterious. They're the three mini bosses, if that's a good word to call them.
Sure.
You have to race against the bronze, silver, and gold ghost.
Bronson, Sylvia, and Goldwyn are the ghosts.
Right, to get the medals. Mm-hmm. And then eventually, if you beat Goldwyn...
Right, he commits suicide.
Or gets eaten by some kind of like Koopa Troopa thing. Yeah. Then you eventually race against the anti-uni. I remember him from... What, 18 years ago when this game came out, playing against him. I don't remember if I ever beat him or not. I played with my brother and actually two of my neighbors, which were the same age as us. We all took turns, and eventually between the four of us, we got to the anti-uni. I remember racing against him, but I don't remember beating him.
Well, I didn't even make it to him, so I probably sunk about 8 hours into it. So,
well, we hoped he was a bicycle.
Yeah.
Which would make sense. Yes.
The anti-uni would be a bicycle, or at least bi-curious.
That is kind of a pretty big disappointment, but there was so much potential there.
Yeah. Well, lost opportunity, alas. It probably would have been too racy for the game, which a lot of things are too racy for the game. Hey, yeah. That pun was completely intentional.
We made our friend James Livingston very happy just then.
But there are some other things that are too racy for the game, like character names. You can name your uni. Tyler, I'm going to let you handle this section.
Turns out we were like, all right, we'll play some verses. We'll name our uni eunuchs. So, of course, what do you do when you get to name a character? You have to name it something.
Same thing you did when you were 8.
Yep. Even though we're almost 30, you know, around 30-esque-ish. All right, here are some examples of names that you can use and names that you cannot use for your racers.
Names that are not cool.
By the way, we spent more time, I think, naming our unis than we did actually playing the game.
Yeah.
This was an exhaustive effort to find out what was good and what was bad in the eyes of the programmers. All right, so you cannot have a racer named Crap.
Not cool enough.
Nope. Because, you put it up and then it says not cool enough and rejects it out. So Crap, Piss.
Not cool enough.
Fuck.
Not cool enough.
Ass.
Not cool enough.
Shit.
Not cool enough.
I mean, that's weakened. All right, we're granted, all right, that Crap and Piss, that's a little, but the others, okay, that's not surprising.
Right.
I think you're a middle schooler playing this game.
All right, Pussy and Vagina.
Mm-hmm.
You can do those.
Yeah.
Penis.
Mm-mm, not cool enough.
Balls, also not cool enough.
Mm-mm.
Tits, fine.
Mm-hmm.
Lucifer, that's okay. Satan, on the other hand, not cool enough. You can have a racer named Jackoff. You cannot have a racer named Jerkoff.
The oft-forgotten twin brother.
So you cannot have handjob, blowjob, anal, butt.
B-U-T-T.
But not allowed. Where butt is not allowed, rape, cock... Sex, semen, whore, slut, grundle, chode. When we scraped the bottom of the barrel in efforts here to see what was cool enough.
Those were cool enough?
Those were all cool enough. You can have semen and cum, but jism and jizz are not cool enough.
Well, all right.
And sodomy and incest, fine. Lesbians, not cool enough.
Sodomy, Nintendo approved. Lesbians,
nope.
Nope. So go ahead and send all your hate mail to Nintendo, because we're just reporting the facts. We didn't make this list up. This is, you can buy the game and try it yourself. Depending on how you feel, you might have more fun doing that than playing the game.
Out of left field, also not cool enough, Sonic and Sega.
This game was Nintendo's response to Sonic the Hedgehog.
See, I didn't know that. And actually, playing this, I had a feeling like that this Uniracers really felt like sort of instant gratification of what Sonic was, because you think of Sonic, you think of, playing through Emerald Fields, you're going around all the loops really fast. What you don't really think about most of the time, though, is when playing through Sonic, a lot of it goes pretty slow. And it's only once you get to those certain points where you really speed along. But there is none of that in Uniracers. It's just from start to finish, it's just constantly. Non-stop yeah, loops. Yeah.
Nintendo wanted to show gamers that they could handle a similar game to Sonic the Hedgehog. So, yeah.
But then, for some reason, it is cool enough to have Pixar or Red be your name,
yeah.
Which you racers fell into an interesting situation with Pixar.
Yeah. DMA Design was sued by Pixar because Pixar put out a short film titled Red's Dream, and it is horrifying. You've seen it, Josh.
Yes.
Tyler, you've seen it too.
Yep.
It features a red unicycle that daydreams about tricking a really lumpy-looking clown.
Yeah, Pixar wasn't always the magnificent studio we know today.
If you have a fear of clowns, do not watch that.
Well, they needed that Nintendo money to grow. Or, I'm sorry, DMA Design. They didn't sue Nintendo. They sued DMA Design.
Because if they sue Nintendo, they might lose. Let's go with a smaller company.
Which leads me to something that I'll bring up here in just a second. But if anyone's interested and hasn't seen Red's Dream, that's the Pixar short, I'll have that in the show notes at tadpog.com. You can go there and watch this really creepy scene. But Pixar won. They won the lawsuit on the grounds that DMA Design had ripped off this character, which is just a red unicycle. I have a question. On the box art and the cartridge art, it's a red unicycle. I'm curious if this whole lawsuit would have been avoided if it had been like a yellow one.
Well, red is one of the colors that you can choose from.
So get rid of red.
Yeah.
So
I thought they had just not had a... Yeah, red was just not a color right, at all you could choose. That would, if it were nowadays, red would be like the $5 DLC color.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Touching back on DMA Design, do you know where DMA Design is today? It's my trivia question of the week. What happened to DMA Design?
No idea.
They are Rockstar North.
Wow.
Yeah, if you can see your faces.
Skull explodes on the back of my head.
Yep, they are Rockstar North. And they are specifically, the DMA Design developer is known for Uniracers, Lemmings, and Grand Theft Auto, the original Grand Theft Auto.
I'm glad they... I see how the lawsuit with Pixar really changed them then. Going from Uniracers to Grand Theft Auto.
Well, yeah. There's the hot coffee scene in Uniracers. Yeah, if you beat Sprinter, if you beat Goldwyn in Sprinter, there's a little scene where prostitutes come out. I don't fucking know.
You made a good bluff check there, Josh. You're like, what?
Yeah, guys, ever heard about this? It's the origin of hot coffee. I can't believe it.
Hot coffee.
Pixar won the lawsuit, and it stifled the production of the European version of Uniracers, Unirally. And because of that, only a few hundred thousand copies were released there, and a lot of critics and game historians say that the game would have been a lot bigger and more influential if the lawsuit hadn't been successful.
Mm. But definitely check out the YouTube video, which you have those comments.
Yeah, some of the comments are pretty funny. Yeah. Apparently, we're not the only people who know the story behind the lawsuit. Let's see.
Well, everybody knows YouTube comments are just gold.
Yeah, they really, really are. I'd like to, and of course, we need to give proper credit. This is from Kirby X Silver. That's a pretty good name. And this is also a hot topic because he posted this a week ago from this recording. Yeah. I can't laugh too hard because here we are fucking sitting around talking about the game. But Guilt of Pixart stopped making Uniracers. All right. So that's informative.
It's true. By the gods, it's true.
4 weeks ago, according to Gordon Freeman.
Well, no, right now you know it's bullshit because he didn't say anything about this.
What he has to say about Red's Dream is, this doesn't look same as Unirally. That unicycle doesn't have the same moves. Screw you, Pixar.
A man of few words right there.
So in case you were wondering what's going on YouTube, you haven't been there in a couple of weeks, it hasn't changed. All right, well, we've talked a whole lot about the mythos and the mystery surrounding what is Uniracers. But if you haven't played the game, we do have a twitch.tv account. You just go there, twitch.tv, and do a search for Tadpog Podcast. We've got some recordings of gameplay there. You can check it out. I'm not going to start. I don't want to share my feelings yet, but Tyler, I want to start with you.
Oh, yeah, I will.
What did you think about Uniracers?
We'll take a step back for a second. Like, over all my gaming history and my strengths and my weaknesses, racing games are absolutely my kryptonite.
Yeah.
Like, the classic JRPG Super Nintendo era, that's my wheelhouse. So racing games, no. Even racing games that I say that I like, okay, like F-Zero or like Mario Kart, I don't like them that much, and I'm awful at them. So going into Uniracers, I'm already skewed as to what I think. I'd probably say I'm even better at sports games than I am at racing games.
Wow.
And a little thing about me that'll be interesting as we progress up the...
Are you saying racing isn't a sport? I've got a few NASCAR friends that would probably disagree with you.
Normally that might be an argument, but considering it's Uniracers, I think we might be in the clear. I think it's pretty safe to say Uniracers is not a sport.
Game. Next week we will have a debate over whether or not NASCAR is indeed a sport.
But except for Tiny Toons last week,
yeah,
I'd never really even played a football game. So it'll be interesting as we get to that point.
Wait till we get to Madden.
But Uniracers, I might not have had like a lot of stellar things to say up for the last few games that we've done, but I don't really have anything positive to say about Uniracers.
Wow.
From sitting down, having the controller in my hand, I did not enjoy this game at all. It made my thumb hurt. I felt like the extremely simplistic, bland backgrounds, just random, just kind of the tracks, just flashy, super simplistic, start, stop, unicycles. Felt like the move selection you had to choose from was very, very small.
Yeah.
So that you were just doing the same six stunts. Or seven moves, stunts.
Yeah.
And then it's the music. Like, I'm particular about music.
Yeah.
And the music you notice just gets in your head, and it's very repetitive, but it's not good.
Something I want to point out about the music while we're on it is, I don't know if you noticed this or not, this bothered me. I don't think the music's particularly good, but did you notice that it doesn't matter what stage you're on, it seems like the music is just randomized.
It is, as well as the backgrounds. Mm. I noticed that too.
Which I think is really kind of a meh. I think that's a tick against Uniracers, is that it's the courses aren't designed to have a specific, like, this is this course's
music. Doesn't set a pace, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but I did notice that too, playing through. Yeah, the music is different. It's randomized, as well as the background. So you're not going to get the same background. You're not going to get the same music if you're playing the same track over and over, which I could see.
Which you will do.
Yes.
If you're going for the gold medal.
Oh.
So what else do you have, Tyler?
So if this is the response to Sonic the Hedgehog, which the levels and the music and the characters of Sonic the Hedgehog, I mean, I can't, and you've got unicycles, oh, sometimes they're in front of squares, sometimes yeah. They're in front of triangles. What music? Oh, you don't know what's coming. Yeah. I don't know why this is 98, I don't know why it's ahead of Tiny Toons or Final Fight. I think it should be lower or not on the list. I did not enjoy it. It's unique enough, I guess, in that it's unicycles following the crazy machinations of their god to get laid.
Yeah, so. But no one read that. Let's be honest.
Just,
you know, no one read that manual. We just read it to fish for funny shit to say on this show.
Yeah.
I agree with Tyler on just about everything. I almost despise racing games. It's sort of with the tricks you have to do to pick up speed, and on certain levels you just need a certain amount of points to pass.
Right.
It sort of had the kind of the base appeal that Tony Hawk does, doing the different tricks.
Because there's stunt tracks.
Right.
There's tracks where you race, and there's tracks where you just do stunts.
Right, but it just, I don't know, it's not my thing at all.
But I want you to think, and if you guys can think of anything, please let me know. Do you know of a game like this before Uniracers? And by that I mean, do you know of a game where you perform stunts Tony Hawk style that came out before Uniracers? Like, I don't know how in-depth Skate or Die got, but I kind of feel like that was just mainly like avoiding obstacles and shit.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Excitebike, you could kind of ramp over things.
Yeah.
You heard it here first, folks. You can ramp over things.
Hot, fresh Tadpog news you've come to expect. An Excitebike, you could ramp off of shit.
Try not to overheat, guys.
Pro tip.
Negatives, level design, pro tips, ramping.
That does bring another point up about it being a 2D racer.
Yeah.
Which Excitebike is a little bit more 3D than this. It is a Excitebike was a straight track from left to right.
Right.
But at least you could change lanes a little bit.
Like isometric.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But on this, you are left and right is the only go buttons you need.
Yeah.
Of course, you do tricks to boost your speed, but and the course does change direction from time to time. You know, you've got the little loops and jumps and those really fucking annoying things that if you hit them like midair, they push you all the way back and send you in the other direction.
Yeah, the direction traps. God, those are really annoying. Yeah. So, yay or nay? I mean, you used to play this game as a kid.
Which I cannot figure out why. Playing through again, I was just getting so frustrated with it. And it was really concerning me that I used to play this game a lot as a kid. Maybe it was because I was playing with my friends. We kind of shared the burden to get through it.
It kind of goes back to that community we were talking about in the second episode, where you just kind of, you're a group and you just, your brother's in the trench and you make your way through the game.
Maybe I just didn't have anything else to play as a kid. Maybe I felt like I only had it for a day before I had to return it to Movie Hut. I don't remember. But somehow with my friends, I got through it. I got to the boss. Whether or not the anti-uni. Whether or not I finished it, I can't remember. But I really don't care. I really don't care to try again. It's not worth my time to me.
Well, I like the game. So I'll just throw that out.
You prick.
Well, you're also the one playing on the stream of it.
I don't want to claim that. Yeah, if you watch the stream, I swear that's not me playing, because there's some really poor playing there. I liked it. I didn't at first. I really started playing it, and there's a lot of glaring issues with the game, and you guys brought it up. I think the art direction is awful. I don't think it's a great-looking game. The unis themselves, they're all the fucking same. They're just different colors. Who gives a shit? You know, they need to be different.
Pixar. Pixar
did give a shit.
You know, for a 2D racing game, the models for the unis I thought were pretty good. They look 3D. They sort of move around. You could see the different dimensions.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so, but they're pretty uninspired.
Right.
They're just fucking unicycles.
You can change the name and you can change the color, and that's it.
And that's it.
They all look identical otherwise.
And back to what you said, Tyler, I agree. I think the backgrounds are just, they feel a little tacked on. They feel like
it's a representation of the Unigod. It's like an abstract, kind of like an unfinished thought.
It's like Galactus. The backgrounds in Uniracer appear to the viewer as they think they should be viewed. It's so the backgrounds don't scare us.
It's our limited perception that limits the visage of the Unigod.
Exactly. Done, DMA design.
We'll be speaking at Dragon Con in Atlanta over the theological implications of Uniracers.
Yes. So go ahead and buy your tickets now. I think the backgrounds, Tyler, I think you're right. I think DMA was like, let us show you what we can do. It may not make sense, but we want to show you that we can do cool backgrounds. Like, that's how it felt. It felt just kind of tacked on. I agree with the music. There are like three tracks. Well, I shouldn't say tracks because it's a racing game. There are three pieces of music that just play randomized. And they are catchy. I found myself this morning when I was in the shower whistling one. But that happens to me a lot. Tiny Toons. I'm still fucking singing Tiny Toons theme song weeks after playing that for a week. But overall, once I got past all that shit, I thought the game was really addictive. I think the gameplay is super addictive. I had a really, really hard time putting it down.
Until that pain in your thumb hits.
See, I don't get that. I don't know what happens. I don't get...
I guess I've been PC gaming too long. I haven't been on the consoles enough to really build up the calluses.
I don't really even have calluses. I just think maybe you two are pussies.
entirely valid.
Fair enough.
But I think there's a lot of cool stuff going on. It does not have the polish or the charm of a Sonic the Hedgehog game. It doesn't. But I still think this game is fun. And I'm kind of tempted because I do like racing games. And the less realistic the racing, the more fun I have with it. Mm. And Uniracer's kind of
I think that your sense of humor in general, the more absurdity is is a core Dave Moore.
Yeah, that's true. Humor quality. I do like bizarre shit. But, I mean, Uniracer's is not very realistic. And I like Mario Kart. Mario Kart's also not very realistic. I think the more realistic a racing game gets, the less interest I have in it. Because it becomes more of a simulation. Like the...
Train simulator. Yes.
No, the Grand. I want to say fucking Gran Torino because I just watched that fucking movie. What is the name of that gaming? The
Gran Turismo.
Gran Turismo.
Yeah, it starts with a T. I know. Yeah,
that's how I got
the old arcade game where you sit in the seat and actually have the steering wheel.
What is the game? Cruising USA.
Cruising USA. That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah.
But anyway, the more, like, that, I guess that's...
The theme song to Cruising USA just popped in my head.
How's that go?
I'm not gonna...
See, I almost heard one of saying that, take you for a ride.
I know.
That's covers Capcom, dude. That's not even racing.
That's weird. I went there, too. But, I don't know.
Take you for a ride.
I think the more realistic a game, the more realistic a racing game, the more you worry about, oh, I gotta have these tires on it, and I gotta build the perfect car to race. I think that is not fun at all. I think there's validity to it, but I think beyond that, it becomes something different. It's no longer a racing game. It's more a simulation. Uniracers, to me, have this absurd quality. It's still a racing game, but it's so different than any other racing game that I liked it.
It is unique. That's certainly true. I can't think of anything that sort of fits the Uniracers mold, so that's true.
And it makes me wish that Sega had responded and been like, you know what? We're going to do a 2D Sonic racing game.
They already had Sonic Pinball.
Sonic Spinball. That's an excellent game. I love that game. I never understood why they didn't do a 2D. I mean, you get that as like a mini game, you know, where you have the split screen and you race. But as far as I know, they never released anything like that where you race.
Yeah.
I guess because no one was as fast as Sonic.
Sure, you don't have Tails beating Sonic in a foot race. So they can do it now with Shadow the Hedgehog. Re-release 2D. Sonic Shadow Racer.
There's the mechanical Sonic. I don't know if he had a name.
I don't want to say
Mecha Sonic. Why not?
Come on, guys. It's Mecha Sonic. It's got to be. I haven't kept track of that franchise probably since Sonic and Knuckles.
So I love Sonic Adventures, the first one for the Dreamcast.
I remember
that.
That
is probably
too,
my favorite Sonic the Hedgehog game.
Yeah. I never played it. Sounds like I'm going to have to check it out, though.
It is very, very good.
But yeah, they did get kind of odd there for a while. I never played them, but I know the Sonic RPG.
I played about 90% through that game, and about half of it was fun, and then it just got incredibly repetitive.
Yeah. Well, I know you mentioned, Tyler, I know you mentioned the track changing color and all that too. That bothered me at first until it trained me to realize what all those colors mean. And that's when the game started becoming fun for me. Because the colors of the track represent what you're supposed to do. They're warnings. For instance, when it turns orange, it means there's an obstacle coming up and you need to jump. When it's yellow, it means there's a shortcut coming up and you need to jump. Pretty much if it changes color, jump. You're going to be okay. So I think that was a cool design decision. It kind of makes you able to play a track without having played it before. Because if I have a problem with racing games, my pet peeve is that you have to memorize the track in order to do well.
Well, in theory, it allows you to do that. But there's no human is able to...
Bronze. I mean, you can get by in bronze.
Maybe, yeah, but...
But yeah, I mean... Silver,
even gold. Even assuming you beat it the first time on bronze, there's no way silver or gold you're gonna.
Well, it depends on your midichlorian level. If you have it high enough that you can realize how the reflexes to pull everything
I don't
hear in your
that
race.
Midichlorian shit on Dead Bog. I'm out. I know I got through several tracks on bronze, sight unseen, and it was because you learned to read the track. But silver and gold especially. I mean, that is memorizing the track. You're right.
Because the track colors, and they're striped like candy canes.
Right.
So the first time through, I was just thinking of when I was little running through Cracker Barrel, whenever they have all the different kinds
those of giant suckers.
Candy canes and suckers. Yeah. Yeah.
You're riding on your unicycle.
Whenever I'd ride my unicycle through Cracker Barrel when I was little after Sunday service.
Something else about this game that I think is really not good is that it doesn't age well. It hasn't aged well at all. It very much feels like when we started it up, I thought we were about to play Saved by the Bell, the game. Because the title screen is all like neon pink and green, and it's got these rendered unicycles on it. It's all...
See, I'm going to add Saved by the Bell, the game, to our increasing list for RPG Maker.
They did that a lot during the 90s, for early 90s for the Super Nintendo games. The one that most notably comes to mind, which I know you guys will eventually get to, I know it's really high up there on the top 100, but Earthbound.
Yeah.
Whenever you turned on Earthbound, you see this, I don't know if I would call it rock music, but yeah, 16-bit rock music.
That's one thing that actually turned me off to that game.
And you see this gas station being blown up by a UFO. And
it's nothing like that. That little blurb is nothing like the game or has anything to do with it. I guess they just wanted that. Bow, down, down, bow, down, down, down.
That'll be our theme song for this episode.
It's just me going, bow, down, down.
It's like a badass NBR.
That's what we are called.
Next week we change our name to Badass NBR.
Well, in some circles we are Badass NBR. I've heard that on the streets.
But anyway, it's not unheard of for the games to do that. So
I think that's kind of my point. Mm-hmm. Is like I feel like there's some decisions that are made that really, really lock this game into 1994. The music, that opening title, like I said, Saved by the Bell, the game. But also, when you do stunts...
Time out. No.
When you do stunts, new little catchphrases come up. And a lot of these, you don't hear anymore. Like, Mondo. I can't tell you the last time I heard Mondo.
Super Mario World...
And it's a squeeze it ripoff, the Mondo drink.
No shit.
No
like
shit.
This exists.
Why are we drinking Mondo?
if you someone you know works for Mondo, we are interested in being your sponsor.
Is it Mondo Mo, enemy in Earthbound, or maybe I'm thinking of Super Mario. What is the Mo name in Super Mario World?
I want to say it's Super Mario World.
Yeah.
Monty Mo.
Okay, Monty Mo. Never mind. Scratch that.
And
I'm
Mondo's a level in Super Mario World,
and tubular. And
tubular is another phrase that pops up when you do tricks, followed by like wow and snaz.
Isn't snaz a dirty word?
We gotta bring snaz back. That's it.
Mandate number one. Tadpog mandate number one.
Get bring sponsored snaz by back. Mondo. Bring snaz back.
Bringing it back. But yeah, I like the game. And I could see its influences on games after it. And I think that may be why this is on IGN's list. I don't think this is a better game than Tiny Toons or Final Fight. Mm. I'm not even sure that this game belongs on the list. But I had fun with it, for what it's worth.
I didn't. Really? And I even
You're the Uniracers expert.
Yes, I know. I even had like the good nostalgia from when I was playing with my friends and my brother, but it didn't save this for me.
And like I said, I didn't like it at first. When we turned it on, there was just this feeling of, ugh, we got to play this.
Yeah. That's how I feel about several things, but damn it, we're going to do it.
Yeah, it's true.
Every week, we're going to sit down, we're going to play it, no matter how much we don't want to do it.
Well, we've got...
You guys are so dedicated.
We've got a good game next week,
that's so
right?
Hot.
Depending on who you ask.
Depending on who you ask, Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3 next week, so...
I'm looking forward to that.
It's been a long time since I've played a Mortal Kombat, so yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I'm pretty sure we're going to enjoy it more than Uniracers, so...
Yeah, and I've actually played that game before, so Uniracers was new to me. I think Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3 is going to be a lot of fun, just because it's a Mortal Kombat game. It's over the top. ridiculous. So we can do friendships.
It's true. Oh,
so looking forward to the friendships.
I played Mortal Kombat 1, 2, and that shitty Sub-Zero side-scroller adventure game for N64.
Yeah.
So.
Well, before we say too much about Ultimate Mortal Kombat, do we have anything else to say about Uniracers? Or are you ready to give it some beards? I'm afraid to ask.
No, I'm going to rate the shit out of this.
Tyler?
This is going to perfectly convey how I feel. All right. As far as for beards, I'm going to give this one, just one. So it's not like it's a lot of them, but just one Hitler mustache.
Holy shit.
I'm going to give it one Hitler mustache. Mm-hmm. And as far as for glasses, I'm going to give it one of those hard contact lenses back in the day that you used to have to wash. This is a hard contact lens that you forgot to wash the soap out of and put into your eye.
That's pretty hardcore.
So yeah, you really didn't like this game?
I did not like this game.
That's a pretty clear indicator. All right, well, check out the footage. See if you like it, but maybe you shouldn't play it, according to Tyler. Check out this Hitler mustaching game.
All right, so I guess we'll probably give some shout-outs to some people who have been kind to us. We might have, called a number one super fan, Blake Woods, has probably been ousted and replaced by Dennis Robinson, who's been very, very kind with his words and messages to the Tadpog family.
He's been great. He's been giving feedback in the show, which I love to hear because I want to make it better. And he's also telling friends and listening and having a good time with it, like you should.
Yeah, fuck you, Blake.
Step up your game, son. Last week's host, Jacob York, he's been doing a lot of promoting himself, but therefore promoting us. So we're very thankful for that.
Definitely.
We should give a shout out to Jessica Dockery, who is the writer and co-owner of Sug Street Post. SugStreetPost.com, S-U-G-G, StreetPost.com. She's plugging us there. In a few weeks, I'll be doing, as a former chef and upcoming nutritionist and personal trainer, I'm going to be doing their food column soon. So you can find more there.
Can you tell me more about it?
About my column or her site?
The site, Sug Street Post.
It is sort of a community hub for Madisonville, Kentucky. So they're talking about all local acts, news stories, artists, musicians, people, you know, affiliated with the area, affiliated with Kentucky in general. So they're doing a really good job of pulling everything together and making it interesting and new. Then, of course, I need to give a big shout out to Nikki Moore, who has gone out of her way to review and advertise and praise us. Yeah. And, of course,
she's my wife, so.
And my wife hasn't done shit. I think she's listened to one show. So, yeah.
Mm.
Blake and my wife both need to step it up. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes or newly Stitcher. So don't miss the next episode. We'll be talking about Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3. And while you're there, don't forget to subscribe, give the show a 5-star rating, and write a review.
Yeah, if you write a review, you'll get a shout-out, a much-coveted shout-out. And you can also be a contender for number one superfan. Josh?
Yes?
Thanks for coming on the show and being our Uniracer expert.
I'm more than happy to. Thank you guys so much for having me. I had a lot of fun, and I hope you guys invite me back.
Like Tyler said, we will be back next week. But if you can't wait for more, you can leave us feedback on tadpog.com. That's also where the show notes are. And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/tadpog. Our intro song is Moves by Sycamore Drive. A link to the track can be found in the show notes on tadpog.com.
Balls, also not cool enough.
Mm-mm.